to St. John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my very Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What prevents anyone from being fully welcomed into the church? Because to be honest, the scriptures and the history of the church are not always clear on the matter. Now, standards and boundaries are normal for any group of that we want to be a part of. There might be fees, there might be dues, an adherence to a policy, a dress code, a uniform. This exists everywhere in our society. It's not unique to the church. But sometimes people are either in or out, whether it be our own choosing or the gatekeeping by members of the institution. But what about those on the margins that long to belong? They can identify with the Ethiopian eunuch in our lesson from Acts today, because as they are reading from Isaiah, they wonder who it's about. Though he has the benefits of serving on Candace's court, in our day we would probably classify them as a sexual minority. They were marginalized and stigmatized in both Gentile and Jewish society. The eunuch is reading from Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken from the transgression of my people. But as Philip evangelizes and catechizes the Ethiopian eunuch, we know that Philip pointed the eunuch to Jesus.
The eunuch is not prevented from belonging to the kingdom. He can be washed anew and received as someone previously on the margins of society to now being fully included into the family of God. Now, boundaries and standards, certainly not bad things, communicates what we are about. It's honest to people in what we're inviting them to be a part of. When we say, though, that God is love, it does not mean then that anything goes, as we heard in 1 John chapter 4. However, we do need to understand the distinction between having healthy boundaries as opposed to putting up walls that serve as barriers that keep those who long to know God, long to know the God who is love, from being included and embraced in the life of the church. For the kingdom of God is for them. Now, like I said, the scriptures at times can be debated about various things. Just looking at the eunuch here. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "No one who's a eunuch," I'll spare you the language, "but no one who's a eunuch shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord." Eunuchs were cut off from the community of faith. But then there are passages like this in Isaiah chapter 56, 4 to 5. "For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, "On that day the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that is left to his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea." We know that exclusion and inclusion using the scriptures can be justified. Perhaps not all that different from how American Christians use the Bible to both justify slavery and call for its abolishment. How Christians have wrestled with how divorced persons are to be included and engaged in the life of the church. How debates about human sexuality continue to be had throughout Christian denominations in our society today. But whenever Christians discern divisive issues of their day, we must ask the question about what is ultimately driving us. Even if we don't agree with fellow Christians, even if we don't understand, our understanding of God is God is love. And it comes from us abiding in Jesus Christ. As we heard in our first lesson, as we heard in our lesson from 1 John, in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Before we turn our disagreement to violence, and when I say violence, I mean the dehumanizing of others, we must be convicted by 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. "Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." And that love is that atoning sacrifice that we see on the cross in Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard many people who have left Christianity or have never belonged to the church that will say, "There is no hate like Christian love. There is no hate like Christian love." What do they mean by that? What they mean by that is that too many Christians have justified hateful actions towards others in the name of love. And we have lost our ability to discern, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we heard in our gospel lesson, is our ministry, are our actions, is our witness bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit in the one who abides in us and we abide in him? As we also heard in 1 John, those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now, Philip takes the scriptures and points the eunuch to Jesus. He points the eunuch to the one who died on the cross, the one who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But far too often in our society today, people use the scriptures as a weapon. They use it for power and control of others. They might use words like love, but it does not point to the crucified and risen Christ. It points to agendas that seek power and control, and it is in contrast to Jesus. It is in opposition to the Christ who liberates us, who shows us love and life, who gives us love and life through the cross. Too many people also make faith about us choosing and claiming God, as opposed to God claiming and choosing us. What prevents us from being fully included in the life of the church? God is always seeking us, right? God is always coming to us. One of my favorite verses is right here in our lesson today from 1 John. We love because he first loved us. It's not my choosing. It's God choosing. We love because he first loved us. Lutheran Christians and others who baptize infants have been criticized for baptizing infants, right? You've probably heard the arguments in opposition. How can that child choose? How do they know what's going on? They don't understand what's going on. And I always say, well, that's the point. That's the point. God chooses us. You don't have to burden yourself with wondering, did I have enough faith in my baptism? Was there enough water? And don't worry, I always use enough water. If you're ever worried. But it doesn't matter as Lutheran Christians, right? It could be a tiny drop of water, or it could be an immersion in a river, right? It's God's word and God's promise attached to that water that says you are claimed, that says I am claiming you, I am coming to you. It's God choosing us. We love because he first loved us. This is grace. It's giving us what we do not deserve and always humbling us to know how others are welcome and included in God's kingdom, because we are welcome and included in God's kingdom by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are made worthy to take part in this kingdom, and God says, you have a place here forever. There's freedom and liberation in knowing that once Philip pointed the eunuch to Jesus, that there is nothing to prevent him from being fully included. Through that evangelism and that catechesis, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? It's about what God does for us in Jesus Christ. Now, many years ago, I shared this. It's an option that the Presbyterian USA has in their baptismal liturgy, which is a variation of the French Reformed baptism liturgy. But imagine an infant about to be baptized, and you hear this. For you, little one, the Spirit of God moved over the waters at creation, and the Lord God made covenants with his people. It was for you that the Word of God became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. For you, little one, Jesus Christ suffered death, crying out at the end, it is finished. For you, Christ triumphed over death, rose in newness of life, and ascended to rule over all. All of this was done for you, little one, though you do not know any of this yet. But we will continue to tell you this good news until it becomes your own. And so the promise of the gospel is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. And I think that beautifully ties together our lessons for today. When Philip asks if they understand the scriptures that they're reading, the eunuch says, how can I unless someone guides me? That we're to take seriously the ministry of the church, that when we come together in community, we guide each other, young and old, in the scriptures. But what do? Do we point to agendas? Or do we point to Jesus? We point to Jesus. We guide each other along the way in our faith, pointing to the crucified and risen Christ in our midst, pointing to the perfect love poured out for us on the cross. It's also a reminder to be humble in knowing that it's not our work or our faith or our love, but it is the love of God that abides in us that makes all of it possible. Beloved children of God, may our boundaries keep us safe. May our boundaries center us in the love of Jesus. But may those walls that our sinfulness builds up be torn down so that all may know the liberating, radically inclusive love of Jesus. And may we always give thanks for the one who abides in us and whose everlasting love welcomes us and promises to never let us go. Thanks be to God.